Well, welcome to worship. We hope that you're worshiping well with the beautiful singing this morning.
Let's continue this time of worship with a time of prayer. Thank you, dear God, for your love for us. You have searched us and know us. You know when we sit and when we rise, when we go out and when we lie down. You are intimately acquainted with all our ways. You know our thoughts and our words before we say them. Such love is too wonderful for us, yet you watch over us and go before us and behind us. From the wings of the dawn in the east to the sunset in the far side of the sea in the west, from the highest heavens to the deepest oceans, you are still there for us, guiding us, leading us, protecting us, comforting us, providing for us, never leaving or forsaking us. Help us, dear God, as we negotiate the challenges of life. We want relationships, but we push away those around us. We want jobs, but we are dissatisfied with the ones we have. We want rain, but not floods, pleasures without consequences, rest without boredom. We want you, but only if you fit our expectations. And only a God of love would tolerate us. But no matter what we've done, you still have a plan for us. It is a wonderful plan that you created specifically for us before we were born. Help us to trust that plan. Help us please provide for us the relationships, the jobs, the housing, the health, the guidance, the protection, and the wisdom that we need. We pray for our church. We pray for Session as it seeks to identify and fill the staffing needs and set the short and long-term directions for this church. We pray for the small groups that are meeting, for Tuesdays Together, for the outreach into the community, for the Women's Boutique, for the planning of the upcoming events for Advent season. Please guide our plans so that we may effectively communicate the wonderful love you have shown to us. We pray for the congregational meeting and for the new elders and deacons. Touch them with your spirit, that they may serve you with confidence and with great wisdom. We pray for the world, for the migrants in Europe, for those bearing the brunt of the typhoon in the Philippines, for lands torn apart by war, by injustice, by poverty. We pray for that your kingdom may come, that your will may be done, and we pray that we might do our part towards that end. We pray for Pastor Kim as she speaks to us. Let us hear your message to us, even in the midst of all the distractions of life. During this time, we pray that you would search us, O God, and know our heart. Test us and try our anxious thoughts, and see if there is any offensive way in us, and lead us in the way of everlasting. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
A reading from Psalm 78, verses 1 to 7. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things. Things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from our descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they, in turn, would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands.
Would you pray with me? Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, we're at the end of our little book that we've been going through. I am a church member, and today we don't have adult education on it because we have the congregational meeting. So I'm sort of summing up the book in one way, but also wanted you to look towards the future. After today, there's going to be new adult education classes after worship, and you can check that in your bulletin. Todd, by the way, Todd Misfelt, the one that just read the scripture to you, is our point person for adult ed. So any questions that you have, please direct them to him. Well, I have three chairs set up here this morning. The chair in the middle... In case you don't know which chair the middle one is, I'll just come over here and show you. This is the chair in the middle. This chair represents you and me. This is where we sit today, all right? You're all sitting in a pew, but this is the chair of the present, all right? And I'm going to go this way. So this is chair number two. This is chair number one. This is the chair of the past, all right? And over here, we have chair number three, the chair for the future. And I'm going to be talking about chair number one, chair number two, and chair number three this morning. All right? Now, some of you, some of you here today know this progression, all right? But it's so important to see the church in terms of the history, the present moment, and where we are going. All right, so as I said, the chair in the middle represents you and me sitting here today. And the chair to your left of that, the first chair, going from left to right, reminds me that somebody was here before me, correct? Somebody was here before me. Somebody invited me here. That's why I'm sitting in this church right now. Somebody made a place for me. Kim, in my case, it was my parents. My parents brought me to church for the first time when I was just an infant. Very, very young. For others of you, though, the first time you came to church, and probably you came to church, most people come to church for the first time who haven't been raised in the church because they're invited. All right. So if it was your first time, you're invited. You might have sat way in the back so that if church got a little weird, you know, you could slip out. And then you'd maybe had somebody raising their hand. You thought, oh, that person has a question. You know, they were raising their hand in worship. That, what question does that person have? But somewhere along the line, as you were invited to church, as you came to church, you met God and you knew that he was alive and real. And for some of you then, by the time you got to West Valley, you were what we call a lifer. You were in this for good. You couldn't get out of it. So church became part of your whole being. You couldn't get out of it. You were hooked. But whatever your background is, not one of us in this room came to faith by ourselves. I want you to get a picture of this line of chairs. Just imagine this line of chairs, one after the other, stretching out as long as it can go, way back to the time of Jesus, generations before us, telling each other, each generation telling the next person the good news of the gospel. And yes, in our history, sometimes it got a little distorted, didn't it? And sometimes it got abusive and people jammed it down people's throats in the wrong way. But because the good news of salvation is real and powerful, because Jesus Christ is alive, none of those abuses from long ago has snuffed out this gracious, powerful truth that God still heals broken hearts and sets captives free and forgives sins and changes life. That's the reality. No matter what the world says, there is a Redeemer. And we're here because we know that. And that's the good news. But see, that's why church is so amazing. Jesus told his friends, and they told their friends, and the friends of the friends of Jesus told their friends. And there's this long line of witnesses, and not a single generation got skipped. And it all comes down right to the chair, this chair where you and I sit today. The present. Somebody had to tell you along the way about Jesus. I sit here in this church, in this place. I know Jesus because somebody told me about him. I didn't just stumble on this on my own, right? People were involved. Someone prayed for me before I ever came to church. Someone loved me into the kingdom. Someone didn't give up on me when I was messing up. How important this was. So just take a moment, turn to the person next to you, and just for 2 minutes, talk about who invited you to church for the first time. Who or who it was that told you about Jesus for the first time. Just do that. I know. Just break set and do it. All right. Lots of conversation out there. All right. I am sure that all of you had somebody tell you about Jesus once. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Now, I want you to look at this chair right here. I just pulled it forward. There are people still to come. This chair represents the new generation or new people. The next group of people coming here. So chair number one is the past, chair number two is the present, you and I, and chair number three is the future. And friends, I want this to be a three-chair church. Not just a church of the past, although history is important, but have you ever been in a church where it's kind of stuck in the past? I was a pastor, an intern pastor long ago at a church that was stuck in the past. This was old First Church, and they prided themselves. They were a historic landmark, and they were the church that founded Newark, New Jersey. Newark, New Jersey has been voted the worst place in the nation to live, but they founded Newark, New Jersey. Newark smells in the city like burning rubber, but they founded it, and they were very proud about that, and they had this deadly benefit of being endowed, right? So a little ambiguous there about whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. But so they never worried about money. They were this historic landmark in this city of soot and burning rubber. But there were only like 50 to 75 people in the congregation because they were shrinking, and they didn't care because they were the church that founded Newark, New Jersey, and they had all the money they needed. So when I tried to get them to open the doors for the homeless people there who were sleeping on the steps every night, they asked me, well, why would we do that? And I said, because I think Jesus would do that. And I tried and I tried, but it just wasn't a priority. What mattered was their history, not the growth of the congregation and not service to the poor. So they were stuck. Where were they stuck? They were stuck over here in chair number one, the past, what they had done. They founded the city, the smelly city, right? So they're stuck in their past. Then there's the chair, as I said, the chair that represents the present moment. And the present's a good thing, but if I'm unwilling to think about this chair next to it, then I'm stuck in the present. How am I stuck in the present? I think we've been talking about that for the last 5 or 6 weeks. If I'm unwilling to invest in the future because I won't get out of my comfort zone in the present, then I'm not serving the church as an active member, moving us forward. That's what the little book was all about. Then I'm stuck in the present. I'm not invested really in the mission of West Valley to know Christ and make him known. I'm just here because it's convenient for me. And I like it well enough. There's some things I don't like, some things I do, but yeah, I like it well enough. And I kind of just come, you know, just sit. Now, I'm not saying there aren't seasons in our lives where we need to sit and receive. I'm not saying that. But the trajectory of a healthy church is one that points toward the future, that has an understanding of where it is going and why. A church that is geared because of their rich history. History's important. And because of the goodness of God in the present, it's geared toward the future of bringing people to sit in these chairs here. I'm sharing Jesus with the next group of folks, with the next generation. And I want us to be a church that is all in to making a way for somebody to sit here. Remember, you and I are not here by accident. You just had a conversation about the person or people in your lives that told you about Jesus. We're not sitting in chair number two just because we stumbled upon it randomly. It happened probably because a group of people somewhere back there made an intentional decision to be all in for the task of making Christ known to us at a camp, at a youth group, at a Bible study, at work, at home doing devotionals or whatever that group did. A group of folks way back here in chair number one said, we are committed to sharing Christ's love. And that's why we're sitting here right now, okay? And we will work as a group, and we will pray as a group, and we will sacrifice, and we will dream, and we will give. And we will persevere, said the group in chair number one, because this is just too important. We want to do for the next generation what somebody did for us. Knowing Christ has changed our lives so dramatically that we want others to know about this God too and how wonderful He is. So folks, at the congregational meeting right after this, you're going to hear from our session members about the future vision for West Valley. And I know that the move to ECO has been so hard. And we've had huge staff transitions in the midst of all this. And that's kind of thrown me for a loop. I'm sure you know that it's been a very difficult year for me as well as for many of you. I know that. And I was so grateful for Todd's sermon a few Sundays ago on praying for your leaders and the fact that you're getting emails if you signed up on different prayers to pray for your leaders each day. Because I want you to know I have felt your prayers. The other day, I knew and sensed the Holy Spirit's presence, and I thought, ah, what's this? I know this one. I'm acquainted with this presence, but I haven't felt this in a while because of all that we've been through, I think, as a church. I recognize Him. It's been a while since I've experienced Him, so thank you for praying for me. I just want to let you know it's working. It took me a while, though, to realize the connection that it was your prayers buoying me up and encouraging me. And in that encouragement, too, and I'm sharing my heart with you this morning, in that encouragement came this promise to me for this church. And it is this, that the best is yet to come. This is not me being Pollyannish, all right, or living in denial of the losses we have experienced. I know them better than anyone else. I know. They are very real. But rather, this is me, your pastor, to the best of my ability, discerning the promise of the Holy Spirit for this place. For this chair here, I want you to be encouraged too, because God is on the move. There is much good that will happen here at West Valley in the next few years. So I want you to be encouraged. And this is just the Holy Spirit. The best is yet to come. So you want to know what makes a church great? You know, want to know how we lean into the movement of the Holy Spirit? It's when the people in the church care more about this chair because they are so excited about the gospel. I was visiting Jonathan the past 2 days, and one of the kids had just come to Christ 3 years ago. He was so excited. He said, I have to tell everybody my life has changed. It's my three-year birthday. Everything's different. He was just bubbling over with excitement, right? He couldn't hold it in. He was telling me, and you're a pastor. Wow, wow, wow. And I took him to breakfast. He was so happy. We're so excited about sharing it. We care more about where we are going than preserving your own chair in the middle there. Because I can sit in that middle chair and I can be very comfortable, but unless I begin to start filling this chair, chair number three, I'm not doing for the next generation what somebody's done for me, which is why I'm here. Somebody who paved the way for me to know Jesus. Think about for a minute, just pause for a minute. Think about someone in your family who you may be worried about in terms of their connection to God. Maybe it's a spouse or a child or a friend or a parent, somebody that you wish was closer to God. And you pray, Lord, so often we pray this prayer, Lord, please bring someone into their life who knows you. Bring someone into their life who can help them to understand that you love them and that you care for them. Now, did you ever think that you might be the answer to someone else's prayers for their loved one. You might be that person that God has put in their path to answer a prayer of someone who loves them, who is just longing that they come a closer walk with God. Maybe that person who is being prayed for who needs to know God is someone you work with. Maybe it's a neighbor who you just kind of are acquainted with. Maybe it's someone you socialize with. Maybe you square dance with them or you play cards with them. But you never really have talked about spiritual things with them. Maybe it's someone on the PTA or someone who volunteers with you in good causes, but faith in God has never really come up. Nobody gets to this chair unless someone is intentional about inviting them. Nobody. So you can't say, okay, I get this chair thing. I get it. You said it a million times. I get it. I have no idea what to say to somebody at my office in the neighborhood on the PTA. Well, let me share with you something Andy Stanley teaches. Andy Stanley is a pastor, and he has some good wisdom. I read him a lot. There's three little nuggets for you to chew on and remember. And I'm not trying to be manipulative. I'm just trying to give you some suggestions, because so many of us are, we want to share our faith, but we don't know how. When you hear, number one, that someone is not in a church, and it might be something like, well, we just got to the area, don't have a church home yet, we're not sure if we want to go, sort of busy, but maybe for this kid's sake, we'll start. All right, so that's number one. That's scenario number one. When you hear, number two, that things are not going well, our marriage is struggling, our kids are having a hard time, our health is failing. Scenario number two. Scenario number three, when someone's not prepared for something, we just moved in or we're having a baby, my spouse is looking for a job, my parents are far away, they're overwhelmed. You can respond by inviting them, Stanley says, because they will probably appreciate that you invited them to church, even if they don't go. I'm not trying to tell you what to say. It's just a way to respond with your vision toward this chair. When you come across one of those three scenarios, you could say this: really? Well, maybe we could go to church together this Sunday. Can we practice that together? Let's say it. Really? Well, maybe we could go to church together this Sunday. You just did it. That was awesome. This is not, I'm not trying to be manipulative or pushy or intrusive. This is simply an invitation as you respond to someone who's expressing a need. They may not know it, but their need is spiritual, and you are giving them the opportunity to join you in worship. And we all know one of the hardest things to do is to walk into a church you don't know anybody for the first time. We need to be intentional about this. We need to invite, otherwise this chair is not going to get filled. People's spiritual needs aren't going to be met, which is the real point. There's so many needs in this community, too. I just read about the fact that there's a tremendous feeling of isolation right here in Cupertino from individuals and families who come from other countries to work in high tech, but who leave their culture, families, and friends behind. More so with women than with men, but it's for both. And they come in here and they know no one, and they're placed in high pressure situations that some of you understand who work in these places. And it's hard. And I've been thinking a lot about the strengths of West Valley, and I think the strength here is that we're a caring community. We're like a family. We are intergenerational, benefiting and learning from all ages. We're compassionate, with a great heart for service and a great heart for mission. We also love to eat, and I don't know how that all fits in there, but something about that. I've also been thinking about the fact that Apple is moving in a mile or so down the street from us, and all these people are coming in. I know there's a lot of controversy in the community about that, but like it or not, they're coming, and there's no way we can compete with their technology and their buildings and their resources. There's just no way. But maybe, just maybe, as we look at this chair, we think about that chair, maybe we could offer them something real, like a community of faith who would pray for them when they ask, like a family church to take the place of the family they left behind. Like a place to come where there's no pressure or quotas or deadlines to meet, no competition and fear of layoffs, where they can sit and worship and connect with others, have authentic friendships, good times, and find out about a God who loves them. Look at this chair, friends, it's in your hands. It's in your hands. But remember it this week and in the weeks to come. Think about this chair, number three. Listen in your conversations with people for the clues that there might be an opening or a spiritual hunger in someone. They're not in church. Things aren't going well. They're overwhelmed. Love people enough to recognize the spiritual hunger in them. Love people enough to do what someone else did for you in chair number one. Practice saying, really? Well, maybe we could go to church together this Sunday. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, because He will. And fill this chair. Let's pray. Lord God, You're amazing. You called us. You used people in our lives to bring us to You. And now, Lord, I ask that You would be with us as we think about chair number three. How important it is for our future. How important it is that we share Your good news with the next generation, just as someone shared it with us, and that's why we're here. Give us the ability to remember this chair this week, to listen to people, and to love people enough to invite them to You. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. At this time, we're going to receive our new members. We're very excited. So if Cynthia Blank, Dick and Nancy Frosch, and Amy Pinto could come forward, and then Judy, too. Come on over. I wish you could be a fly on the wall at our membership classes, because it is such an honor to hear how God is working in people's lives. People don't just come here again by accident. People have been invested in these folks. Some of them have been in church all their lives, but somebody brought them. And then others have amazing stories of God's work. So after the congregational meeting, these folks are going to be outside at the door. So please welcome them. And again, we're so glad you're here. And we just want to celebrate with you this morning. So we've had our membership classes and we've gone over these questions together, but this is a public profession of faith for the four of you. So I'm going to ask you these questions now. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life? Please, if so, please say, I do.
I do.
Do you confess your need for the forgiveness of sins, and with a humble and contrite heart, put your whole trust in the mercy of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord?
I do.
Do you promise to make diligent use of the means of grace, to continue in the peace and the fellowship of the people of God, and with the aid of the Holy Spirit to be Christ's faithful disciple to your life's end? Do you promise to be a faithful member of this congregation, endorsing its form of government, participating in its ministry, supporting its mission, and seeking the fellowship of other Christians wherever you may be? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Do you, the members of this congregation, in the name of the whole Church of Christ, promise to welcome and encourage these new members so that together we might grow in the knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ?
We do.
We're going to have a baptism. Dick Frosch has requested a baptism now, so come over here. Richard Frosch, you belong to God, and He knows you, and He has shown Himself to you. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and abide with you now and forever. Amen. Let us pray together. Lord God, thank you so much for Dick and his commitment to you. He's known you his whole life. You've been with him in power and strength, and now as he stepped forward to be baptized, we pray that you would energize him in his inner being to know that you are alive and well, that you love him beyond his wildest dreams, and that you will continue to direct his paths. Thank you so much for him and for his ministry and for his love for you. And for all of our members, we thank you for them and for who they are and for how you've brought them to West Valley. May we welcome them and may we walk alongside them as they continue to deepen their faith and become more personally acquainted with your wonderful presence. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, thank you. Right. So we welcome you. Go forth and be glad, glorify God, and enjoy Him forever. And welcome to West Valley. Thank you so much.